Welcome to the Teacher Interview Podcast. I'm your host, Wes Creasel. I work as Director of Innovation and Instructional Support in Fullerton School District, and we are now in Season 4 of the podcast, where we get to know teachers better. Our themes this season are passion, drive, and determination. Join me. Today we spend time with Kathy Wilson. She teaches 5th grade at Laguna Road Elementary. Let's get started. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Wes.
This is the first time we've done this intro.
Oh, my goodness.
So many tech things. All right. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And so we're going to spend some time talking about just teaching. Maybe we'll start with how you started in teaching and where you've been. And then we have interviewed a few people, gotten some quotes, and we're going to throw those into the mix and just see what other people around you have said we should talk about.
Okay.
So tell me about where you started your teaching journey.
I didn't actually start teaching straight out of high school. What I did was I went to school to become a paralegal.
Okay.
And I worked at an oil refinery plant in Paramount.
Long Beach area?
Long Beach. Yeah, so quite a departure. And then over time, I just felt like there was something else I needed to do. I loved working in the law firm, loved it all, but it just wasn't for me.
So
I came home one day and I said to my husband, you know what? I want to become a teacher. And he said, okay, you go do that. And I said, okay, I will. And so went to school at Cal State Fullerton and actually started teaching at Acacia for the first 2 years of my career.
That's great. Then
I got pregnant with my son. And it just so happened that there was a teacher at Laguna Road who had also just had a baby. And we connected, hit it off, and I moved to Laguna, and I've been there ever since.
Wow. Okay. And then grade-wise, what grades have you taught? Have you always been fifth grade, or?
No, I actually started in kindergarten, which I absolutely adored. I thought I would stay there forever.
Really?
Loved it. But then when I moved, so that's where I started Acacia, and then when I moved to Laguna, my partner was teaching third grade, and I did that for about 5 years. And then, unfortunately, my dad passed away, and I was working part-time at the time, sharing a contract with my partner, and I needed to go back full-time to actually help my sister through college. So I went to Sully and said, you know, do you have a position? And he said, it just so happens someone's leaving fifth. And I thought, well, they're awfully big in fifth. And he said, well, you're a very tall person. You'll be just fine. So I moved to fifth, and I think this is my 14th year in fifth grade.
You're tall. You'll be just fine.
Just fine, yes.
You're so reassuring.
Isn't he? I know. He's like, I've got faith in you. Just go. Okay.
Wow. So kinder, third, fifth, and most years in fifth?
Yes. The majority of my career has been in fifth grade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. What's one, so I started as a high school English teacher. What's one thing I should know about fifth grade? Like students or curriculum or just something you're like, this is just a basic principle about fifth grade.
Well, that's a good question. I think you have to remember they're still kids. They're still little kids. Even though they might be taller than you, you know, and stronger than you, they're really just kids. They still want to celebrate their birthday. They still want to be recognized as star student or get a radical roadrunner from our school. And that's one thing that I learned stepping into fifth grade was because, you know, you always imagine just the little ones.
Right.
And, oh, yeah, they're the ones that want to celebrate birthdays. They're the ones that want to wear pajamas to school and dress up and bring their stuffed animals. No, fifth graders do that as well.
Yeah. And really it's that being playful and enjoying life that – that's good. So what are some ways that, besides birthdays and PJs, that you help them have a good time at school and remember their kids?
Well, one thing that I always incorporate into my classroom is music.
Okay.
Absolutely love music.
A few of our people we interviewed gave us quotes about that.
Did they?
Yeah. So tell us about music.
So I think deep in my heart, I'm a rock star.
Okay. You are.
Seriously, I think that any given moment, if I could sing, I would go on stage and just perform and, you know, tour the world. I just love music. And so I do a couple things with my kids. So first thing in the morning, like morning meetings, I always have an inspirational song. Okay. I'm a firm believer then that what you put in is what drives you and helps you, you know, tackle the world.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to positive, uplifting music, that's what you're going to project.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're listening to depressing, you know, sad music, that's how you're going to feel.
Right.
And so morning meetings, we always start with something positive, always singing. Another thing I incorporated with them just this year was, have you ever heard of? Who is this artist you've ever heard of? Because I was kind of thinking back at Christmas time, there's a lot of artists that students don't know because their parents haven't taught them.
Right, right.
So, for example, Ray Charles.
Yeah.
Okay, big Ray Charles fan.
Yeah.
But when I say Ray Charles to fifth graders, they don't know who I'm talking about.
Right, right. Right.
So I said to them, okay, I want to do this podcast. Well, we call it a podcast, but it's just a presentation in our classroom.
Yeah.
Where we introduce an artist from some period of time.
Yeah.
Hopefully not the 2000s. They understand that there were artists before then. And then they, you know, they do like a biography on them, and then we listen to the music of that particular artist all week long.
Oh, that's great.
And it was great because they've learned about people they maybe have never heard of.
Yeah.
And they're telling me, oh my God, I love this song. Or, oh, can you play that song again?
Yeah.
So that's one thing.
Name some artists you think they were surprised by or they were familiar with and you were surprised by.
Oh, that's a good one. Frank Sinatra, believe it or not.
Really?
They knew Frank Sinatra.
Wow.
Which I was surprised.
Right.
One that's really strange that maybe people will not know is the Smiths.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And so one of the little girls said, oh, I want to, you know, tell about the Smiths. And I said, there is no way on this planet you know who that is. You know what I mean? They were like popular in the 80s.
You didn't listen to K-Rock?
No, exactly. And they said, no, we know exactly. Well, I guess there's a show called Stranger Things.
Oh, right.
Okay.
And that's part of the music. Oh, right. Interesting.
I haven't watched it. Okay. I pretend that I have.
Okay.
I have not watched it, but apparently they play
interesting
80s music, yes.
Wow.
Phil Collins is another one that I was surprised about.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting.
Right, exactly. Okay. But of course, you know, the Beatles, they were introduced to the Beatles. They've heard of the Beatles, but maybe never really knew anything about them.
Yeah.
Like I said, Ray Charles, Diana Ross and the Supremes.
Mm. You know, that's great.
Yeah, just different artists that they would probably, maybe their parents have not introduced them to.
Right.
And I thought, you know, I want this legacy to go on and on. I want them to appreciate all types of music.
And it's just a way to connect to other people. And I think it was Robert Hirsch had the cultural literacy was a term. I think it might have fallen out of vogue. I don't know. Right. But what's a song that... Are there songs they ask you to play again and again? Like they like it and they're like, ooh, play that one that they've kind of discovered through this process.
Right. Well, Hit the Road, Jack.
Oh.
They love that song.
Hit the Road, Jack.
Yes, can you believe it?
It's just full of meaning.
I know.
Every generation loves it.
Yeah. Well, I'm, at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, bye. Hit the Road, Jack. You can go.
Oh, that's great. No, That'd be a great out, you know, exit ticket song.
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome.
Exactly.
So one of our quotes is from Cindy Bach. Mm-hmm. And so she talks about music and building fluency through rap music. But I'm going to pick up on another thing she talked about is Snowball Fight.
Oh, yes.
Okay. She says more about that. But what does that mean?
Okay. All right. So in fifth grade, one of the standards is learning about the Revolutionary War.
Okay.
And so one of the things that I did for review, and it just so happened the day that Dr. Pletka was coming to Laguna. Yes. I had the kids dress as redcoats and patriots.
Okay.
Right. And then we split the room in half. And we literally had written review questions on a white piece of paper, crumpled it up.
Yeah.
And threw it across the room at each other as if we were in battle.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to run across the room, pick up the paper, look at it, open it up, and then quickly run to your desk and write the answers out on a separate piece of paper,
yeah.
crumble it up, throw it back at the mix.
Oh my
gosh. So it was this It was this, all this chaos, but it was a controlled chaos that many teachers know about.
Yeah, and then I can expect that they were just into it.
Oh, they loved it. Yeah. They wanted to keep going and going and going. And I'm like, but you've already answered those questions. No, let's do it again. I'll do it a second time.
We want to review. Yes,
exactly. So they don't realize they were reviewing. That's they just great. Thought they were having a fabulous time.
I love that. So what about Cindy Bach also mentions transforming your room into an emergency room, like an ER, to teach the
order of operations.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yes. So order of operation is a math concept that the kids really do struggle with. Mm-hmm. And so one day we decided that we were going to literally transform our room. And so I was fortunate enough to get hair nets from an actual doctor, and then masks from doctors and dentists and so forth. They passed them my way, and all the kids got to dress up.
Okay.
And then I wore scrubs, which was the best part of the entire day. Yeah. I thought, why didn't I go into that profession? And then we operated on, we had a box that had like red strips of paper in that kind of was supposed to look like blood and muscles forth. And they used chopsticks to go in and pick up one of the pieces of paper, and then it would have a math equation on it. They would solve it and put it back inside the patient.
Oh, wow.
And when Dr. Bach came in, I made her put a hairnet on and a mask because she was entering my operating room.
Yeah, it's so immersive. You know, it helps the students feel a sense of drama and excitement. That's so great. Yeah. I can see why she thought of those when I asked her to share.
It's funny because I forgot all about them. You know what I mean? When she was there.
Well, let's go to music, Songwriting 101. A couple of people mentioned this. So Angela, who used to teach with you, and she's moved to, is it South Carolina?
No, Maryland.
Maryland, okay. Yeah. Sorry, Angela. So she says, for years, Kathy has been the go-to teacher at Laguna Road to serve as the innovation teacher. And we were talking about this at Innovation Experience. She's tied projects to the American Revolution that we just talked about and other areas of the fifth grade curriculum. Her latest pet project is Songwriting 101, which you got funded through All the Arts.
Right.
So, and then it talks about the ukulele and learning poetry through songwriting. Tell us about that.
Okay. So, poetry is, of course, another state standard for fifth grade, and it's quite a dry subject. As I've learned, only 12% of adults read poetry.
Oh.
Yes, which is a crime. And so one day I was driving home and, of course, listening to music. There's an artist from the 80s. Her name was Tracy Chapman.
Yeah,
okay, of course. And she used the acoustic
guitar. You're used to being
with
fifth graders.
Yes,
you're like,
exactly.
I know who Tracy Chapman
is. Okay. A lot of people don't. But anyway, so she usually plays with just an acoustic guitar. And I was listening to one of her songs, and I thought, you know what? I have this idea. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it'll fly. I don't know if I can actually pull this off, but this is what I'd like to do.
Yeah.
So what my goal was that the students would learn the concepts of poetry.
Okay.
And learn how to write a poem.
Yeah.
And then from there, they would be able to use a ukulele from All the Arts.
Okay.
And luckily, Mr. Adamson came too, because when I reached out to Phil and said, I have this idea, Phil said, absolutely, we can do this for you. We can bring Mr. Adamson to show you really how to handle the ukuleles and teach a few chords, which was fantastic, because honestly, I do not know how to play the ukulele.
But I love that you had this idea.
I'm like,
here we
I can
go.
Do this.
Yeah.
Yes, I can do this. There's a YouTube video that will teach me how to do this, right?
That's
well, I didn't
true.
Have to do that. So fortunately, Mr. Adamson came. He taught four chords to the kids, and the kids just ate it up.
Yeah.
And then from there, they would take their poems and put them into a song and learn different types of chords and then play the transition of those chords, and they were singing, they were making songs.
That's great.
I said they're just like Stevie Nicks, you know, Fleetwood Mac.
They're
performing. And then they went around the school and performed for other classrooms and teachers just to kind of get them, the other kids excited.
Yeah.
And then they're going to showcase it at Innovation.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a real world audience. They're leaving the classroom and performing for other people around campus and then going to FSD Fest.
Right.
So that's one of those things we talk about, is giving the students agency, the opportunity to connect with real-world audiences. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. They're very excited. What they're going to do in innovation is they're going to teach someone, like, so let's say you come up to our booth. They're going to teach you a chord on the ukulele, and then there will be a jar where you will pull out a topic, and they will help you write a song.
Wow.
Very quick song, but they will help you write a song, and then you'll be able to play. You'll be a songwriter just like they are.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really kind of innovative. It's the name of the event.
I'm the queen of innovation, I'm telling you. I've been doing it a long time.
I love it. Okay, so we're quotes from Angela. Let's also dip into this. So there's a question I ask, which is kind of bonus feedback, like anything you think we should know about Kathy. So Angela said, "You never know what you're going to find when walking into Kathy's classroom. It can be a cooking with Kat segment where the students are following a recipe and learning measurement." So tell us, and someone else, Danielle Guerrero, also talked about, so I'll read hers. Mm. Kathy is really passionate about cooking, which is interesting because you said.
Yes, sort of.
So she said that happened when COVID shut down schools. You saw it as an opportunity through Zoom, mm-hmm. cooking with Kat every Friday?
Yes.
So tell me about that.
So Zoom was really hard on the kids, as you know. And so one thing I wanted to do was to offer above and beyond activities, right? So maybe a yoga class. I did a yoga class one time or a dance class. But one thing that worked out really well was cooking with Kat. And what I did was, from my own kitchen, I would invite the students ahead of time. So I say we'd do this on a Friday. But on Monday, I would send a slide deck saying, these are the ingredients. This is what you need. You know, log into this Zoom and I will teach you, like, how to make a pizza, how to make chocolate chip cookies, pancakes, whatever it happened to be. Obviously, parents were there for support.
Yeah.
And I started this cooking class with the kids. And they absolutely loved it.
Oh my gosh.
And it was great because we've even had parents who still have students at the school. The fifth graders have moved on.
Right.
They're fifth graders, but they'll have younger kids,
younger siblings.
And they'll say, hey, tonight we're going to make your chocolate chip recipe. And I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing.
That's cool.
Yes, so we did something like that. I wish we could have continued it once school opened back up.
Right.
But I did it. We did it the year before where we made egg salad sandwiches or we made sandwiches, something easy that they can do where it doesn't take any, you know, you don't have to use the oven or you don't have to use a mixer or anything. But we made a lot of recipes.
That's great.
Cooking with Kat. Yes.
Yeah, and I can imagine that's such a personal thing to do, is to teach somebody how to make food that they could feed themselves and their family. It's really great, and they probably loved it, I would imagine.
They really did.
Yeah.
They really did. One of the parents was so sweet. They made me a apron.
Oh.
Because pink is my favorite color. So they made me a pink apron that said cooking with Kat.
Yeah.
But the one thing I did do is on Zoom, you know how you can change your background? I made sure that my kitchen looked spectacular in the background. Mm. I mean, it looked like a perfect chef's kitchen. It had you could view the ocean, and the kids were like, is that really your kitchen? No, boys and girls, it isn't. I wish I lived in a $1 million house. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I have to say, even though I'm not a master at cooking, I did enjoy cooking with Kat. I really did. It was a lot of fun.
That's great. So there's a lot, I mean, food, music, you're bringing these things that students already have a connection to, and then connecting it to learning. That's great. Okay, Coatson, there's a quote in here about Coatson. You tell me about Coatson, then I'll read the quote.
Mm, okay. Well, I was very fortunate, along with several other teachers at Laguna Road, to be accepted into Coatson.
Mm-hmm.
And it has just been an amazing opportunity. We've learned so much from in writer's workshop, reader's workshop, different ways to connect with children that maybe you didn't think about, using mentor text, and then having that fellowship of being able to turn to another Coatson fellow or to my mentor, Carol Ann Curley, and say, again, this is an idea I'm having. What do you think? Do you think this would work in this particular program? And being just having so much support, it's been a remarkable opportunity. And we were fortunate enough to have a third year in Coatesyn. Mm. Normally it's a 2-year program.
Right.
And then on top of that, they've now allowed another round of Coatesyn at Laguna Road.
Wow.
Yes, which That's is, great. I think we're the only school that they've allowed for that to happen.
Wow.
So we're very, very fortunate to be a part of Coatesyn.
Yeah, so it sounds like a good connection with a mentor, mm-hmm. And the mentor's probably getting you to reflect on things that maybe you know you've done in the past, but you don't have time to.
Right.
Do you have, what's one, I don't know if you call it a breakthrough, but an aha moment or something from Coatesyn and reflection that you thought was particularly, you know, unique or meaningful for yourself?
Oh.
Like, yeah.
Well, it's funny because I think as a teacher, we're always reflecting, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have an idea. You don't know how it's going to go.
And you do have a lot of ideas.
I do have a lot of ideas. Yes.
We've talked about a bunch of them.
And it's funny because I'm not artistic, but it's all up in here. But anyway, you have this idea of how, you know, you want a particular lesson to go. And then you attempt it. Sometimes it's wonderful, successful. Right. Everything's beautiful. The birds are singing.
Yeah.
A rainbow appears. But then
I said you crash sarcasm. And burn.
Yes. You crash and burn. But it's what's amazing too is just being able to stop and say to your mentor, this is how this went.
Mm.
This is how I think it connected. And she'll be in the room with you often when you're, you know, doing a lesson. And it's great to get her perspective. But the one thing I have to say that it's scary in the beginning. When you first take on something new that you're not familiar with, and Reader's Workshop is, you know, going across the board throughout the whole entire district. It's something new. That was not my what I had signed up for at Coatesyn. I signed up to be a writer, a fellow, not a reader.
Yeah.
I know that sounded funny, but I don't want to be a reader. But you know what I mean. And so it allowed me to grow tremendously as a teacher.
Yeah. Tell me about what did you find as an aha moment with your Coatesyn experience? Mm. What was that?
Really having the opportunity to really conference with students, getting to know them as readers, helping them discover different genres that they perhaps would not have been interested in before. That really has impacted my teaching and hopefully inspired them to become, you know, solid, excitable readers.
Yeah. And I know you used our tape stop for a second, but you were talking about asking students, like, would you be open to, I know you're comfortable with nonfiction,
right. But
sort of getting them to expand their horizons as part of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because I think students, they don't really know themselves as a reader. You know, they say, okay, well, I have to read this because the teacher told me to read it, right? It's part of the curriculum.
Right.
But when I go into the library, do I really know what books I'm looking for,
right?
You know, what kind of books that excite me and I will want to read on my own above and beyond what I have to do academically. And so that's been a real aha moment, is helping them discover that about themselves.
Yeah, and that identity as a reader is something they carry their whole life.
Absolutely.
And it's true, I don't remember anyone talking to me. I loved reading, mm-hmm. and you eventually kind of find your own way. And so that's interesting. It's a really kind of a formative experience that's not maybe traditional, you know, like getting students to reflect on what do you gravitate towards and why, and would you try something new? So it helps them learn how to grow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Which is, you know, ultimately what that's our goal as educators, is we want them to like what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because they have a long academic road ahead of them. And they're going to have to do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And as they grow, the academics get more and more difficult.
Yeah.
And really having that solid foundation of reading helps them in all aspects of their, I call it, academic career.
Right.
You know, everything requires them to be able to read and write.
Yeah.
Even when they're solving math problems, they still have to read and comprehend those problems. And so just having a broader horizon, that's the word.
Yeah.
Okay, cut everything else.
Yeah, a wider horizon.
A wider horizon,
yeah.
It doesn't sound right. But having that opportunity to understand that there are so many different types of books out there that they don't have to be pigeonholed into one tiny little section.
Yeah.
Think outside the box.
Yeah. There's a quote, and this is actually the quote that led us to quotes in Coatsen as a topic, Danielle Guerrero. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. You didn't talk about this at all.
Oh.
So it's interesting that she said this. So she says, when Coatsen came to Laguna Road to observe and interview potential fellows, because not everyone gets chosen,
right,
Kathy was really nervous. After her interview, she called me and gave me all the details.
Mm-hmm.
So Danielle says she reassured you you'd be chosen as a fellow, which you ultimately were. And she said the response at the end of her conversation with you really struck her. Do you remember what you said?
Ooh, I don't know. It was
give you that right now. She said that you said, even if they don't pick me, I'm still going to use this year as a year to grow and reflect on my teaching. I want to continue to push myself and come up with creative new ways to reach my kids. And you said, that's just what I feel I'm called to do.
Absolutely.
That's such a powerful and kind of a statement of humility of like, this is just who I am. You know, I hope they pick me, but that's got to lead to a lot of learning, you know, that position.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tell me a few of the favorite things you feel like you've learned on the teaching journey. Things that you're like, didn't know that was going to go that way. That's either great or, you know, something to avoid.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't do that one again.
Favorite teaching lessons.
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, you know, there was something that I learned that year that Coatsen did come to Laguna. I was having a difficulty connecting with a particular student.
Okay.
Which is very, very common. I mean, and I was trying to figure out, how do I help this child, you know, stop blurting out, stop disrupting the class, and so forth. And I was reading a particular book, and it was talking about you're not supposed to change, or you can't change the child. You have to change the way you interact with them.
Mm.
And I'd always done it, but that phrase really hit me.
Mm.
It was like, you know what, you're right. They're not cookie cutter kids. I really need to, with this particular child, I need to change.
Right.
I need to meet them on their level and figure out what is it that inspires them, what is it that gets them excited about learning, and move forward with that.
Yeah.
And so I had said to the child, hey, do you like Legos? And he's like, oh, I love Legos. Oh. And I said, you know, I have an engineering project for you. And he's like, really? And I said, yes, absolutely. And I said, so when you finish your work, because he was really quick at doing it, and I said, when you're finished, I have a special table over here just for you, and you can start being my engineer in my classroom.
Mm.
And so then he became an engineer, and he built it. Just so happened he built the Colosseum, which I had Legos of, yes. Luckily, I have a son who was small at the time who had a lot of Legos.
Yeah.
And so that really helped
connect
with him.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. He came back a couple years ago. He left and then came back, and he was like, you know what I remember about your class? And I said, what's that? And he said, that engineering project.
Oh.
And I said, oh, I'm so glad. He goes, that was the best part of my fifth grade experience. Yes.
Wow.
He said, because I just felt so special and understood for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah, so
that's amazing.
But, you know, it's like little things that you do. You know, you don't realize what a huge impact they make.
Yeah.
But, you know, luckily I thought, well, you know, I need to do something.
Right.
And so even with Coatsen, I was like, you know, I need to. I remember being in the interview and I said to them, you know, even if I'm not chosen, like Danielle had mentioned, I still reflect on what I'm doing and how I can make their experience, the kids in particular, how their experience better.
Yeah.
And how do you take all of this curriculum for them? And it's a lot. It's a huge jump from fourth to fifth grade. Oh. How do you do it?
30-minute recording limit,
okay.
So I'm going to hit record again. record.
So you didn't realize all the things you have to do.
Yeah. Well, ideally, we have a 30-minute episode. And then I'm just going to go 30 minutes, start, stop, but, you know, we start and stop. So, of course, we're over. Okay. So, yeah. So back to we're working with our cameras here, people. Bear with us. Okay, so we're talking about the special things you do to try to reach individual students.
Right.
Yeah. And so you had the student with the engineering experience. What I felt when you're talking about that, I just felt like you were kind of trying something. You didn't, it wasn't like you, oh, I know the answer to this.
Right.
It's, you know, I've done this 10 times before. I'm going to get the engineering project out, the Legos, and we'll do that, and it's going to solve everything. Mm-hmm. You're really just making an effort, and it really made an impact. He said it was the most impactful thing that he remembers from fifth grade.
Right,
it was
right.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it's funny because in the past, you know, you try a lot of different things, but often it's not really going to them and saying, again, a way that you connect with kids through Coatsen. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you enjoy right. doing in your spare time. We always say that we get to know our kids, and there are a lot of kids we really yeah. do truly get to know.
Yeah.
You know, we'll attend baseball games. You know, we'll go to an art show with them, you know, and see what they're doing, or yeah. dance recital. But really, in the classroom, allowing them to be who they really mm-hmm. are, and accepting them and them feeling loved and supported and cared for, I know that all teachers want that.
Yeah.
But there are kids who you struggle with, and that particular child was one that I was really struggling yeah. with, and I was trying to just figure out how do I make my life better?
Yeah.
His life better.
Right. Yeah.
how do we all get along
how
here?
How do we get through
yes.
this?
And not impact 32 other students right. with disruptive behavior.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, so that was just something that yeah. I just threw out there. And again, it's funny because I don't consider myself artistic. I don't consider myself, because stick figures, that's, you know, the best I can do. But I do tell my team, I have all these big ideas,
yeah.
and I'll bring them to you, and you need to help me just, you know, I need you to help it, just embody them and go through it.
Yeah.
But yes, that's something that I really, that's something for sure I have learned through Coatsen, and then also just being able to connect with kids and say, you know, I need to figure out what I can do so that yeah. you feel good in this classroom, and I feel good in this classroom.
Yeah. Yeah, and it sounds like sort of talking through that, it's almost like asking other people, like I have intuition is kind of the word, because you said I'm not an artist, but you have all these great artistic ideas. So you have this intuition of a direction to go in, and then you're kind of asking the students to partner with you,
mm-hmm.
and then you get buy-in, and your team, that they go, okay, she needs us to kind of help fill in what's this idea going
right.
to become. So we're going to end here. There's something that Cindy Bach said about you and staff, and she says you host morning dance parties.
Yes.
Explain yourself.
Okay.
What is a morning dance party okay. with Kathy?
All right. So I usually arrive at school around 7:30 in the morning,
okay.
and I pull into the parking lot in front of the office, and I roll down all of the windows in my car.
Okay.
I turn on some kind of dance song.
Yeah.
Okay, it could be anything. And I crank it as loud as I possibly can. Now, I can tell you there have been times I'm out there by myself.
Yeah.
Dancing by myself. I don't care. Then there's also times when other people are like, oh, thank God she's here. Let's go out and
Let's
dance.
Go.
It's a Friday, or, you know, it's a Monday, or whatever yeah. we need to do. And we go out and we dance in the parking lot.
Oh, that's great.
And then also what I've been doing too is my adjunct duty is crosswalk duty.
Oh.
I do morning crosswalk duty every day, and I have a it's a speaker
yeah.
and my cell phone, and I play music every morning to everyone
great.
Who crosses the crosswalk.
Oh, that's great.
So, yes. I host dance parties all the time.
I love that.
We walk into staff meetings. I have music playing.
That's
even
great.
If the principal doesn't want it, I still have it going. It really just invigorates me,
mm-hmm.
gets me excited for the day. And again,
yeah.
putting in positivity
mm-hmm.
allows me to be positive, you
yeah.
know, out into the world. And
yeah.
so it's all about music for me.
Yeah, and you're connecting with everybody around you and helping that emotional, you know, Daniel Goleman, who does books on emotional intelligence and social intelligence, he calls it emotional contagion, which is kind of a negative word, but it's like you're happy around me, and then I start to feel happy, and I'm, you know, moved in that direction because of your happiness.
Right.
That music does that beautifully.
For everyone, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of day you're having.
Yeah.
You put on a song that brings back these wonderful memories, mm-hmm. and suddenly you feel good.
That's
and
great.
You know, it's been pretty crazy since COVID.
Yeah.
And I think everybody needs music in their life.
Yeah,
positive
definitely.
Music, yes. And I think everybody needs to go out and dance in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And I'm available if you want to just drive by.
That's a great way to wrap it up. Go dance in the parking
That's
lot.
Right. That's right.
That's right. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Wes. This is fabulous.
This has been the Teacher Interview Podcast. Thank you for joining us.